Today is 10th of March 2005 and I'm talking to Mrs. Christine Bartrop of Bude. Now, Mrs. Bartrop, what date were you born?
June 25th, 1918.
And you were born?
Trelawney, Kilcampden.
Yeah. And your parents were?
My father was Francis Trewin, and my mother Mary Trewin. She was Hawkins before she was married.
And what was her job before she was married?
She came from Bodmin and was a teacher at the Church of England School. And that was how she met my father. And they eventually married.
And then they had a family. And you had brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had three older brothers, Frank, Vivian, Eric, and a sister, but she died at 6 months old. And then Barbara, she was 6 years younger than me.
Yeah. And then you said your mother died when you were young?
Yes. My mother, unfortunately, died when I was six. My brothers were older. Frank was the eldest, and he was 12 at the time. And my aunt at the New Inn brought up my sister Barbara. She was only 10 months old when mother died. I see the things working there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you had a lady come and look after you, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Miss Annie Hurd came as housekeeper and did the cleaning and cooking. She had a little cottage of her own up the village, and she looked after us very well.
And then, where did you start school first?
Yes, I went to the Wesleyan Methodist School in West Street to start with. And when I was about eight, we moved to the Church of England School, and all but my brother Frank, and he stayed on and went to the council school that was built by, I think, by Mrs. Thin, was on the education committee down at Truro.
So can you tell me something about the Trewins? Or not Trewins, the Thins?
Yes, Mrs. Thin lost her husband in the First World War. There is a memorial erected to him. It stands in the lower square. Oh yes, she lost her husband in the First World War, and there's a memorial to her, to him, in the lower square of Kilcampden.
Yeah. And what kind of lady was Mrs. Thin?
Well, we used to see her walking around Kilcampden, and she got a big dog with her, and she had a chauffeur, and he drove either a Daimler or a Rolls Royce. And she went to Truro on, did I say that?
Yeah, the Education Committee. Yeah.
The Education.
But she was also a magistrate, wasn't she?
Yes, he was also a magistrate. When there was a court at Stratton. And if anybody from Kilcampton came on in front of her, she used to make the fines a bit more if they were fined for something, because they came from Kilcampton.
I hear she was quite a torter.
Yes.
Well, it was quite sad when she died, and it didn't remain in the Thin family very long after that.
No.
The estate.
Squire came for a little while, and then it was sold. And it's now a place with the chalets and things like that,
yeah.
Holiday.
And you said that they owned a tremendous amount of property in Kilcampton?
Yes, and the Finns owned a lot of property in Kilcampton. All the cottages were sold off. Some of the tenants bought their own cottages, and I suppose others that couldn't afford it moved out.
So they employed quite a lot of people as well, didn't they, from the surrounding area?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you remember anybody who worked there from just then?
Oh yes, she kept the gardeners.
Yeah.
You know, doing the gardens down there. They were very nice gardens, and held some fetes occasionally down there.
So, moving on from Mrs. Sin, we'll talk about your father again. Now, what did he do?
He was a watchmaker and jeweller,
yeah,
and sold an ironmongery as well. And eventually, when the boys grew up, left school, he started up a garage, selling petrol and all that.
So when you said the, we talk about wartime, you said your brothers had gone off to war.
Yes.
And so what happened then to the business?
I was the only one left at home. My sister Barbara was training as a teacher. And my husband taught me how to drive a car, and I kept the rounds going. I worked up a round in the country, and I kept that going. Kept the shop open, and charged up accumulators and took people their accumulators, because there was no electric about very much then.
And also you talked about the paraffin.
Paraffin, because that was the most thing for cooking and lighting back then.
So what kind of lamps would they have been using then? The old oil lamps?
Yes, oil lamps with wicks. And I suppose some had candles, you know, still.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they graduated on to, I can remember, a tilly lamp and tilly lanterns.
Yes,
did you sell
right.
those?
Yes, I think my father used to sell those, you know,
yeah,
with little mantles. Yeah.
And then there was the old Primus.
Yes.
A lot of people used the Primus, didn't they?
Yes. That took paraffin and methylated spirits. That was another thing we sold, was methylated spirits. You had to have methylated spirits to start it off, I think, didn't they?
Yes, I believe they did. So then when your husband came back from the war, you got married.
Yes.
Yes.
I got married in 1943, during the war. And lived on there in the back of the shop. And eventually we moved to Bute.
So can you tell me something about your wedding outfit, how you were able to get...
Yes. The people in the country were very good. They didn't need all the coupons that they had, and they could very kindly let me have a few coupons, and it helped with the wedding clothes. And we had the reception at the London Inn, about 25 people, very quiet sort of affair.
So who married you? Whom, the vicar of Kilcampton?
Yeah. Yes, the Reverend Greener.
Reverend Greener, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was did your outfit comprise? What did you wear?
Yes. I wore a two-piece pale blue frock and maroon hat, maroon gloves and maroon shoes. Yeah. So it was bought. I didn't have some maid or anything.
No.
I think I went to Exeter and bought those.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how would you have got to Exeter then? Did you have enough petrol to get to Exeter? Did you get to Exeter by car or...
No, caught the train.
Oh, the train, of course, yes. Yeah, the train was down at Whitstone Station. Or Bude, did you go to Bude?
Yeah, from Bude.
Yeah.
We used to be able to catch Gist, the carrier. You know, he was very handy. He used to go to Bude twice a day and bring back stuff from the station, medicine from the doctors for people. But he was stopped from carrying people by the bus company, because I suppose they're taking trade from the bus.
Yeah.
You used to have a bus come up from Bute and go to Biddeford, you know, go through to Biddeford. But eventually that was closed down.
So can you, in Kilcampton, can you remember the shops that were in Kilcampton at that time?
Yes, there was two grocery shops and drapers. You see, they had grocery one side and drapery the other.
And what?
They're both the same.
What were they called? The
one was called Damon's and the other one was called Walkie's.
Yeah.
And eventually, Walkie's gave up the grocery side and just had drapery. And the Damon's closed down, and you know, a big firm like International or somebody bought it. But since then, it's been owned by private people.
Mm. So who? What about the post office?
Yes, that was run by a cousin of my father's. Jostrowin and his sister worked behind the counter in the post office. And of course, eventually they died, and that had to be run by people that came in, fresh people came in to run it, you see.
So who, you talked about the London Inn, and then there was the New Inn, so who ran those two pubs?
Yes, my uncle ran the New Inn with his wife, and the London Inn belonged to the PRHA, and they had managers up there.
When you say the PRHA, that's
it's a firm in London that used to run these places.
Yes.
I think it was something to do with the church, I'm not sure. No.
So then when you married, you lived in Kilcampton for a short while, and your children were born in Kilcampton?
Yes.
And
Suzanne was born in 1946 and Stephen in 1950.
Yeah. And can you remember, that was just after the war, how you managed with the rationing and baby milk and things like that?
Yes. I breastfed both the children. I think Suzanne went on to cow's milk, but Stephen had National Dried milk. It's in a big blue tin.
And then
there was orange juice and cod liver oil given out for children to get their vitamins, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And can you talk about the wartime bread?
Oh, yes. And that was a mixture of brown bread and white. But it didn't, and supposed to have been healthy, it didn't taste too bad.
Well, I bet you were...
We had a baker's shop up there.
So who ran the bakery then?
Mr. Stadden, he was called.
Yeah, yeah.
Came from away, I think, Plymouth Way. He and his wife ran it until their death, well, he died, you know.
And then when you left Kilcampton, you told me you went to Bute to live.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a little shop belonging to the Parsons Bakers. And it was a top shop and the bottom was a restaurant. And eventually the restaurant closed and we took over the whole lot of it.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said he worked in Stratton before that.
Yes. He worked, or he was a partner with Mr. Fred Mortimer, who had a radio just business and electrical. Yeah. Now.
So where did your husband learn his trade to be able to repair radios and things like that?
Well, he learnt that in the Air Force, you see, because he was radio mechanic in the Air Force. That was his job. So he was familiar with radios and things, so he's able to repair things, you know.
Yeah, so he put his wartime experiences to good use in City Street.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. So you told me earlier about seeing a bomb crater.
Oh, yes. There was one bomb that fell out at Bradbury. It just left a crater in a hedge out there. I used to pass it when I was on the rounds.
Yeah.
But fortunately nobody was killed or injured or anything.
No, no. Can you tell me about Coronation Day?
Oh, yes. It was very busy up there. The village was decorated. And my husband managed to put a television out in the garage, the seats for people to see. Of course, it was only in black and white.
This was in Kilcampton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there was one up in the Grenville Room. In Kilcampton, you could get a better picture because we were higher up, you know, in most places. But it was only in black and white. Not quite so good as the colour these days.
Right, now, can you tell me about long families back at the time?
Oh, yes. where there was a Mrs. Hurd. She lived in the row of houses from the policeman, what we called Ivy Cottage. And she had 24 children. And Mrs. Shattuck is, I think, the last one that's living, isn't it?
Yes,
Raymond's mother. She's 103. Yes. She's the longest living one of them.
Yeah. So how big was the house? How many bedrooms did the house have?
Well, back when the family were being born, they lived in a cottage on the farms. He worked on a farm and used to have a decent sized house. Of course, they weren't all home together because the eldest were out working, you know, so one or two of them died, I think, but it wasn't so very long ago. There were 16 of them still living.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've all had families, so she had a lot of grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
Yeah.